Father Yahweh, come to you and acknowledge you, first of all, as our one true God, the Most High, who is above every God that that exists. We know that you are the source by which we move, we live, our whole being, everything about us, we attribute it to what you've given us, the ability to comprehend all of our successes. All of it, it belongs to you. Even we've come to realize that that our failures are, for lack of a better word to put it, craftedly designed to even bring about your will. But this has been the difficulty concerning mankind as they have misunderstood you from the balance by which you cause all things to be. And we praise you for just leading us and guiding us in all truth. And we depend upon you in every facet of our life. In the wonderful name of our Savior, Yehoshua, we pray. Amen. All right. Couple of things that I'm thinking of, especially in reference to, we'll move around a little bit. At this point, I'm thinking about some things in Ezekiel chapter 7. So we'll touch some areas there, and then we'll move to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, that's kind of where I want to be, but at the same time, Yah is kind of leading me Ezekiel chapter 7. Well, let me just kind of give you guys an understanding of some things from a perspective of what happened the past few days and things like that. And so just kind of bring you abreast to some things. Just kind of bring you abreast to some things because of, you know, we missed Sunday service. Hold on just a minute. Okay. Because we missed Sunday service, and the reason why is because we were on our way back in from the hotel to be a part of, you know, part of the service, but we had to turn around because of all the traffic and all the debris and things like that. But very few of you, you know, may realize or know that when that tornado hit, it hit about a quarter of a mile, give or take, from actually where we were in the hotel. And the awesome thing about it, and I'm being very careful about saying this part, but then at the same time, I'm trying to find a proper way to put it. But at the same time, the way I have to put it, it is necessary for you to understand that there is a difference. Okay, there is a difference, and I explain what I mean by that. I wrote about it, and basically just, you know, put it on Facebook, and I was like, okay, you know, we're at the hotel, we're about a quarter of a mile from all this destruction, and you know, a lot of people. I still lied. I think it's, at this point, at last I heard, I think it was 11 people died from this tornado. From the video that I also posted on my Facebook page, you can actually see the tornado moving across the freeway. Well, when it moved across the freeway, it picked up cars because people couldn't see You know, one worst thing you want to be in is a tornado at night, because you don't see it, and a lot of people are specifically people who were on the freeway, that were killed on the freeway, lost their life because they just couldn't see the tornado, and they just drove right into it, basically in a nutshell. And so so when you look at that, there's a lot of things going on, and I'm trying to get to the area where I need to be. And this is what I'm saying. This is what I mean by I want to be careful, but at the same time, I have to be bold about what I understand. Now, Ezekiel chapter 7 is some things that is what I wrote about because of some things that was said from a Facebook post, and it was basically asking the question of, okay, I want to know why this is happening to us, but, you know, to us as a race of people, it's like, you know, it was like our pain is approached different than all these different things, you know, approached different. And it was like, okay, can somebody, you know, answer this? And I dealt with this, I think, a little bit on last week or something like that, too. But like, can somebody answer this? So I go on there, and I was like, okay, the answer is clear. But I'm like, the answer is very clear, but very few people are willing to accept the answer. Well, I ended up writing about it and putting it on Facebook, and I basically said in a nutshell, I shared it with some other people, and I basically said in a nutshell, well, if you really want to understand what's going on with us as a nation of people, then we have to accept the reality of what is going on, that Yah is angry with us as a nation of people. And in the title of it, I believe, is Put Me to the Test, okay? And Yah is making me, he's just forcing me, stuff I don't want to do, but he's just forcing me to be more and more bolder, because that has to take place. And I start out by saying I'm drawing a line in the sand. And I use Elijah because Elijah drew a line in the sand, so to speak, when he said, okay, how long are we going to halt between two opinions? He said, if Yah be Yah, then we're going to follow him, worship him. He said, if Baal be God, then we're going to follow Baal. In other words, he drew a line in the sand and said, okay, it needs to be clear about who is God, so we can all settle the issue on who we need to follow instead of all these opinions being out there. Well, he had me write that way for a reason. Now, the thing that I'm about to tell you, Brent can attest to this, he'll be able to confirm some things that I'm about to tell you. So I went on to say, I said, okay, God is angry with us as a nation. And I said, and I pointed out three facets by which we were going to continue to die as a nation. First of all, I said famine, and then I said pestilence, famine, hunger. I said, you know, when you look at those hungry kids, you know, they show these hungry, starving kids on television. These are basically Israelites. People have a hard time accepting that, because these are Israelites. It's fulfilling Bible prophecy. So when you see, you know, these specials that they're showing on television, these commercials and things like that, where they say, can you help us feed these hungry kids? You know, these hungry kids, they lost their parents, and different things like that. I can take you read the scripture and show you the very same thing. The exact same thing we saw as a nation. It was part of the judgment for our disobedience. We are starved as a nation. But then he also said that there was a remnant of us that he will protect no matter what. So all this is coming full circle. I'm just throwing things out at you right now. He said there's a remnant that he will protect. He said that he will judge our nation from three facets. He said famine. But see, we as Americans, because, you know, we have all the things that we need. It's very rare to find. You may find us homeless, but you very seldom will find somebody dying out on the street from hunger. You just don't find that here in America. They may not be eating all the stuff they want to eat, but somebody will feed you around here in a certain perspective. Maybe some bad stuff, but you can eat. And there are some things I'm going to encourage you to read. I know I'm all over the place right now, but I'm doing all this for a reason. Some things that I'm going to have you look at. Alan has sent me some information. One of the videos that I want to get you to watch, it has to do with fluoride is doing to us specifically as the nation of Israel, and how these things are designed to specifically affect us more than any other nation. Fluoride, now that's in toothpaste, and all this is showing where all this stuff is really coming from. In a nutshell, fluoride is nothing but some form of waste that they're trying to get rid of, and because it's so expensive to get rid of, they put it in stuff that we consume. In other words, it's their methods by which they have sophisticated or cunningly come up with methods to get rid of, but at our expense, not theirs, because it would cost so much to get rid of this stuff, and so they call it fluoride and these other kind of things, but it's basically waste that they're getting rid of, and we're buying this stuff. Society is buying this stuff, putting in toothpaste and water and all this kind of stuff. You know how they said, they saying fluoride is in the water? So I want to get y'all to watch this video and sit down and get away from the housewife of Atlanta and Pukenham and how, Stella got a groove on and all this. You know, it's that stuff, and sit down and get on the set of what they're doing to us, what they're doing to mankind. So the video I want to put up for you guys to watch that video, that's the reason why Zoe is the way that she is, because Hiawat carried her, she drank the spring water, and Zoe is so far advanced than other kids her age, because all that stuff was kept away from her. Then some other things I got to tell them to do, here after service, y'all been dealing with me about it. I got to get them on the same page with things that we do here from the shower heads and all that. That needs to start taking place because, the fluoride and all that is stuff is in there. And, you want to try to watch from taking showers with the fluoride because it's getting in your system, and all this stuff is designed to kill masses of people, but it has the highest effect on Israelites. Now imagine that, the highest effect on Israelites. Okay, fluoride, then also sugar. There's some things that Alan sent me in the video that shows what sugar actually does to the body. It is the cause of probably the majority of the, if not all of the illnesses out there today. And so they'll have you thinking that fat is the issue, but in reality it's the sugar. But sugar is in everything. It's in ketchup. You name it. You pick up pretty much anything else, the chef, he got sugar in it. And so... So these are two videos that I'm gonna, I'm gonna give to you as an assignment to sit down and watch. They're not short videos. Some of them, I think an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. Sit down and watch it. Go to the movie with it. Take that mindset. It is to educate you on what we're doing to our bodies by consuming these things. And so y'all was dealing with me about some things. I'm gonna come full circle back to this. I'm getting ready to write about it. He was dealing with me about some things from a perspective of. You will find people who will say, well, all things, even the healthy stuff is not healthy nowadays. Even the healthy stuff is not healthy. You can't find healthy food nowadays. Well, that's true to a certain point. That's why the scripture says that we give thanksgiving for. So Yah was saying to me, he said, okay, if you eat that that's healthy and you give thanksgiving to that, he said, I'll put something on that. I'll bless that. But I'm not gonna bless the pork. You can't take everything there and pray over it and think that's gonna solve the problem. But if you line up with my word and pray over it, then that's genetically modified, I'll do something with it because you're trying to line up with me on what, you see what I'm saying? You're trying to line up with me on what I call you to do because there's so much wickedness out there that even when you try to eat healthy stuff, it ain't right. So, and I did say, And so it ain't right. If this is not right, that's where the thanksgiving comes from. And y'all is like, I'll do some things supernaturally to bring about, and I heard what he just said. There was one time when our nation was out in the, I believe, the wilderness, and there was some water that was bitter, and they couldn't drink it. They couldn't drink the water, and so what he told the leaders, so to speak, do, he said, take this herb and throw it in the water, and it made the water where they were able to drink it. And so here you had contaminated water that, because they lined up with God, they were able to drink the contaminated water, because the water itself was a source by which Yah had decreed for us to be able to take in. And so there are certain things that we'll be able to, as long as we stay along those health lines, that Yah said, if we bless it, He'll, you know, we give thanks for it, knowing that we're trying to line up with His will, then there's some things that He'll supernaturally do. Now, that's not an excuse to do some things, but at the same time, I'm just letting you know how some things will take place. Well, again, back to these things. So this video, I'll give you the information, and sit down and watch it. Educate yourself on what's going on in society, okay? The sugar is a lot of problem. The fluoride is a problem, and it's in toothpaste and all these different things, and it's the reason why people are having issues with teeth, you know, with their teeth, you know, sodas and all these different things. There's just a whole lot of information there. Okay, well, again, the question that was asked was, okay, what's going on with us as a nation? Okay, bottom line is, Yah is angry at us as a nation of people, and I think it's ironic. Or I know that it's ironic that, you know, that Judah, the tribe of Judah, is in America, because we saw our sister go astray, and so because we saw our sister go astray, and we still, the ten tribes, I mean, our sister, because we saw our sister, the ten tribes, go astray, or the northern tribes go astray, then we followed suit and we still did these things, so we're getting the worst of the worst. And so here we are in a country that load us down with sugar, load us down with fluoride, put it all in our drinking water, where you have other nations saying, other nations won't even accept it. They say it's not good for you, it'll kill you. But yet this is in our drinking water. And they even got, and I'm trying to get off this, but I just saw this, you know the baby water? The baby water got fluoride in it. The little baby water that they give the baby, brand new babies, they get when they say, okay, go to the store and buy this water that has fluoride in it. Then I'm wondering why it's killing some babies, and then some babies, you know, come out, their teeth are messed up, and then they have other issues going on with their brain and these kind of stuff. You know, and that's why, you know, again, Zora has this advantage, because she all she's ever drank pretty much is spring water since she's been here. All she's pretty much ever drank. So, okay, all these things are going on with us as a nation of people because Yah is angry with us. Now, when you look at Ezekiel 7, Ezekiel 7 reveals some things that happened in our past to show us some things as far as the future is concerned. Whereas we as a people have to sit down and examine and accept the fact that what's going on with us is as a result of our own doing. We've talked about this time and time again, where these other nations are being used as a tool. When you read Ezekiel chapter 7, you start at verse 1. I just started verse 1, and then I'm going to move to Luke, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here unless, you know, it's really God just leads us to do so. Ezekiel 7, verse 1 said, more of the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, thus saith Jehovah Yah unto the land of Israel. And the end is come up on the four corners of the land. Now, we know this is talking about our actual land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, verse 3. And will judge thee according to thy ways. We have to understand this concept. Whatever is happening to us anywhere, it is our judgment according to our ways. I don't care what it is. And we're... See, what we have the hardest issue understanding is the fact that if something is happening to us out on the street, it is because God is using the street as a judgment concerning the ways that we do on the street. So he says, so we have to look at everything that happened to us as a people. Let's look at it across the board. He said, I'm going to judge you. Now, verse 3, now is the end come unto thee, and I will send mine anger. So first of all, we have to understand this has nothing to do with white people. So even when you go back and look at slavery, you can't look at it and say, these Europeans, you know, they was mean to us and they did all these things. Well, y'all going to deal with it. He's going to deal with his tools. Y'all did use them as a tool, and y'all going to deal with his tool. It's not our responsibility to be angry at it as a tool. It is our responsibility to understand what in order for the tool to be able to come to us in the first place. Now, we come in full circle now. When the tornado hit, it did some things, but it was based upon a prophecy or word that y'all called me to release. And Brent will tell you, I talked to him the same day I wrote it. It was December 24 when I wrote it. Now y'all don't know what I'm about to tell you. When I wrote that, the same day, wind blew through our building in East Texas. You know what I'm about to tell you? Wind came through the building in East Texas. It was so powerful that it brought down almost the whole side of our ceiling on the banquet hall side of our building. All of it came down. I think the light fixture and most all of the that stuff. Y'all hear me? What's that stuff built? The ceiling tile. I mean, all of it. And so Brent sitting there pitching, he was like, hey, you know, I went up to check the building. This is what's going on. You know, get some help. We're going to go in there and try to deal. He's like, I'll take care of it. He said, but I got concerned about the light because, you know, he said we had a strong wind to come through. This is on the 23rd to 24th when he went up there. He said a strong wind came through and it blew almost the whole side of that ceiling tile in that hallway, all of it down and all on the floor. And the light fixtures hanging out. I think I saw one. It may have been more than one. I'm not for sure. Now, when that happened, and I wrote that on the 24th when I was saying, God is angry with us. I said, and he told me to draw a line in the sand. I said, this is how we gonna die. I said, we're gonna die famine. I said, but you have to understand it internationally. I'm just paraphrasing. I said, you have to understand it internationally, because if you don't, you're not gonna realize we starving as a nation, because you're thinking about only Americans. I'm telling people, my mindset, I'm trying to expand Israel's mind to be an international, because we think if it's not happening in America, then it's not a plan. I don't know who the heck this is, but so we think it's not applying to us because it's not happening in America, the neck that we have. And so I started to stress the mind to say, okay, this famine is international. When you look at that child or all those little children, so-called African children, that's starving, you're looking at your own people. That's the famine on our nation. It's not happening in America, but yet it's a famine. Okay? I said these are the methods by which we will continue to die. Famine, 2, pestilence. Pestilence is diseases. Okay? Different type of diseases where we would die. Then the third one, I said sword. Now here's what a person's mind is limited to. When they think sword, they think gun. They think some kind of knife. A tornado is a sword. I said weapon. Tornado is a weapon. Now, when you look at this from the prophecy that I gave, I told myself, draw a line in the sand. I said this on the 24th. I said, draw a line in the sand. I said, when you see these things happening, my tests have been passed. I thought I said, put me to the test. Y'all told me put me to the test concerning the things that I'm about to say. And when they start happening, you're going to know that I passed the test. I'm going to lay it out. Then when it happens, you're going to know that I passed the test. Brent will tell you, I text him the 25th. Maybe the 25th, 24th, 25th. One of those days, I have to look at it. But he'll tell you, or text you, that I told him this very thing. I said, man, it's finna go down. I said, here's what this prophecy means. I said, now, watch what I tell you. I said, all this stuff is finna go down. I said, basically, nutshell, it's going down. I just leave it right there. It's going down. The tornado hit. Once the tornado hit, I told Brent, I said, now, Brent, what happened to the building? Strong wind come in, knocked down all the ceiling tiles. I said, judgment must first begin in the household of Yah. The very reason why that happened to our building was Yah was starting the judgment there. I'm gonna bring a strong wind in and totally demolish the ceiling on one side of the building, because I'm letting you know that I'm starting the judgment right here. He said, put it to the test. Starting it right here, judgment right here, and I'm gonna take that very wind and I'm gonna start judging based upon the line that you've drawn in the sand. I said, judgment must first begin in the house over there. Y'all always start his judgment in his own house. He blew the ceiling tile down to show that as a symbol of what I had wrote and what he was getting ready to do, and he released that tornado, and it came through. It did its destruction. Now, that's the part I said I was going to be very careful on. Now, of all days, why would I be a quarter of a mile away from where it happened?
Hey, can I say something?
Go ahead, Brent.
And you know what's so strange about all that?
Santa Carolina, everybody can hear you.
I said, what's so strange about all that is that, you know, that tornado started about over in Red Oak. And it didn't hurt anybody over there, but once it got to Rowlett and Garland, that's when people got hurt. And then it ended up on the other side of Farmersville. And, you know, and I just think, you know, what happened to your mama in Farmersville.
Exactly. He said it started out in DeSoto, didn't hurt anyone, and it didn't really start doing the damages till it got to Garland and Rockwall. Then it went down through Farmersville. He said he was thinking about what happened to mom in Farmersville. And so here you have anything else, Brent?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think two or three people might have passed over around there.
Yeah, they did. Actually, it was. Now I'm saying that to say this. Of all days, okay, of all days, we're out there. In any other day, we're out there. I give this on the 24th. They happened to the center in Honey Grove on the 24th. I said some other things to Brent on the 25th, and this when did that hit the 20? What was that? The 27th? The 26th. Yeah. The 26th. I write it on the 24th. It happens to have been on the 24th. I say the most things are written on the 25th. It happens on the 26th. Now, where we were, not one leaf blew out the tree. Not one. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. What is happening here in the earth, in the Metroplex, however way you want to put it, it is Yah bringing his judgment to pass based upon what he's going to start to lead Israelites to release more and more in the earth. Now, I know this is some kind of difficult for you to wrap your mind around, but I'm going to fix it all. I'll back up and say this why I said that. I'm going to ask you a question. How can I can I put this? Who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Do you remember?
Moses.
What nationality was Moses? He's Hebrew. Hebrew or Israelite, okay? Hebrew or Israelite. Okay. Who are all the prophets in the Bible? What are their nationalities? Hebrew or Israelite. All of the people who had something to do with the scriptures whatsoever, they were Hebrew or Israelite. All your apostles or disciples were Hebrew or Israelite. Hebrew or Israelite. In other words, the one who took the message to the Gentile was a Hebrew or Israelite. Same nation of people. Now, the judgment is coming down upon us as a nation. But at the same time, it's going to take Hebrew or Israelites to go forward to release some things, same way Elijah did, to say, okay, how long are we going to hop between two opinions? Because what I was saying to the audience is, okay, how long are we going to get caught up in all this here? We sitting up here saying, okay, I want to know what's going on, but at the same time, you know, I don't understand why people don't like us as a nation and why our pain is treated different, why our suffering is treated different. Well, he's taking Israelites now who understand the scriptures the same way he did it back here to cause us to take a look at ourselves and the rest of the world to understand why all these things are happening the way that they are. And it's going to be circumstances, why I'm being troubled about it, because there's going to be circumstances that we're going to have to stick ourselves out there to make it known. But it's going to be kind of uncomfortable to have to deal with because it's bringing about destruction of people. But the hardest thing for me was to say all the things that I said on the 24th, to say all the things that I said on the 25th, and then to see the things that I said on the 26th. And one of the things that I wrote when I was saying, I said, okay, as for me, you know, Yah in a nutshell has preserved my life. He is the source, he's the method by which my life was preserved. Because just as easy, when we were going back, when we were trying to make our way to the church service on Sunday, we turned around and went back because of all the destruction that was there. It was difficult for us to get through. It was going to take us a while to get through. So we turned around and went back. But to see all that destruction, it left me dumbfounded. To know, it's two ways it left me dumbfounded. It left me dumbfounded to see it all, and then it left me dumbfounded to know that I was right up the road. And then even a leaf blew off a tree. So when you look at verse 3 again of Ezekiel chapter 7, it says, now the end has come upon thee, and I will send my anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways. Now, a person may say, why did that tornado tear up that area? When we look through the eyes of Yah, we have to understand, see, this is the part that makes it difficult for me, what I'm about to say. But at the same time, I got to be bold enough to say. When you look at what happened on Interstate 30, you have to ask yourself, what ways was happening on Interstate 30? Because nothing is by mistake. In the sovereign Yah that we know, that we know and coming to even know more, we know that everything has balance to it. So he doesn't allow that kind of destruction unless there's something that he's doing to deal with the issues according to way. That's a hard pill to swallow. I could have just as easily been in that destruction. What was it about a way that made it different from ways that happened with other people in one fast another? Now, I'm not using it as a self-righteous thing to try to, you know, justify my reason for. See, God didn't even correct me on that. He said, yeah, that's exactly what it is. He said, it is righteousness. And it is a self-righteousness, but not from the perspective of my own ability. It's because my self-righteousness is based upon the source, and he's that source. And so he's like, no, call it what it is. The only reason why you were protected was because you operated in my righteousness. So we have to understand when we look at verse 3, he said, my anger is carried out upon a nation of people. Now you have to ask yourself a question. If he's doing it to a nation of people, why wouldn't he do it to any other nation of people? If I say that, if he do it to his nation, his chosen people, why wouldn't he not do it to any other nation of people? We're looking at destruction along Interstate 30. It's something that'll kind of blow your mind if you go through and look and see cars in buildings and trucks in buildings and trees all over places and big old steel piece of frames of apartment laying on the freeway. On the side of the freeway, $2 big. Somebody come through there and just pick it up, and move it out of the way, because it's a big piece of steel that was used to build that building or apartment or whatever. We have to understand that all these things are happening because y'all are judging something. Everything has purpose associated with it. So he look at it, and look at it in verse 3, he's saying again, now the end has come upon thee, and I will send my anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy way, and I will recompense upon thee all thine abomination. It's something about what's going on in society that make Yah say, I'm going to allow some things to take place. That's why he used me as a said, okay, let's put this to the test. I'm tired of all this halting between two opinions and everybody saying, you know, Jesus is this and God is this and this is how you do church service and this is how you do all these things. So let's put all this stuff to the test. We're going to see what belongs to Yah and what doesn't belong to Yah. So he said, I'm going to judge thee according to our ways and I'm going to recompense. Now, when you look at the word recompense, it's like a point. I'm going to appoint to you, I'm going to allow some things to take place according to thy ways. In other words, what happened to you is based upon, it's like what you saw and what you read, kind of thing. Now, I said all this to say this. When you look at us as a nation of people, let's take it as far as our health is concerned. We're having health issues because of our ways. Now, remember, I just used the example as far as the videos are concerned. I use sugar again as far as an example of that. There are things that happen to us because our ways is to consume the things. He's trying to tell us, learn not the way of the heathen. And so we're consuming things as far as the sugar is concerned, and yet it causes consequences to happen with us as far as our health is concerned. And Yah is saying, okay, what's going on with the physical body as a result of what's going on with some weight? Now, you don't take all that and throw it in there. I'm just trying to find some areas to cause us to see the point that Yah is leading me to make as far as his lesson is concerned. We have to be able to sit back and look at everything, and I use this as an example. When the gas blew up in my face and I was consumed with the fire, one of the first things I did was say, okay, y'all, why? Why did this happen? What was going on with my way that allowed this to take place? First thing I did, I need to understand why this happened, because I know who I am. I know what you called me to do. I need to know, understand why this is happening. First thing he said was, you remember when I told you that you were the answer? He said, I let this take place in order to judge your way, not from a negative standpoint. You can go back and tell a story that you was completely consumed with fire, and the only thing that happened to you, you got the beard a little bit seared, and your hair a little bit at the top, and nobody could tell, you know, nobody could tell that it really happened. He said, but I did that because I wanted you to go back and give the testimony according to what I had told you to tell them in the beginning, that you are the answer. So everything has purpose associated with it. So what we have to do is we have to look at these things. Everything, so let me get personal with you. Everything that's going on with you, check your way. Because that's exactly what I do. Remember, the first thing I asked him when this happened, I said, okay, y'all, what? Tell me what? Tell me what's going on. What did I do to cause me to have to be dealing with this rat here? See, then you asked a question, and I gave you the answer. When I said that you are the answer, but what you think I was going to do is just not give you or not make that clear. So I had to let this event to happen, and you sitting there looking at this gas, I mean, this fire burning, and it's twirling like a whirlwind, and I'm sitting there letting you see all this because I'm establishing something according to your way. I'm building up something. Then I'm turning around, and I got you out here at the hotel. Nothing happens at the hotel, all because I'm judging it according to your way. And I'm making that line in the sand to make it crystal clear so that each one of you can be encouraged to know that no matter what's going on, my daughter, hi, she had called me. She was like, Daddy, you might have to come here and get us. Well, if I would have went down, I went back through that tornado, rat straight through it on my way to get up. And I think about how all that was happening across the way. 2 hours earlier, my two girls and my granddaughter was out there at the hotel. They had left a little bit later. My babies could have easily been driving on that bridge when they came across. What was it about their ways to make Yah say, no, not them on this bridge? What was it about their ways that made them say no? Okay, all of you think about that one event. Where were you at the time? Where were you hours before? What made you not be the one that that instruction came through? On that day. Y'all said you have to understand that what I'm doing is I'm doing it based upon the ways of my people. And if my people realize what I'm doing and that everything happened as a result of ways for whatever reason or another, there's always something going on to call these things that have to be the way that they are. And if we can sit back and take a look at something and honestly judge ourselves, honestly judge the circumstance and come to the conclusion that this verse 3 is coming to pass. I'm going to appoint these things that happen according to our way, to the way. So my mind city is, okay, y'all, this line is drawn in the sand, and since the line is drawn in the sand, something has got to happen to make it clear that there's a difference between the ways of us who understand the things that we do and the ways of those who don't. So we got to get to the point to where we can accept that understanding. Each one of you got a testimony concerning Saturday, and you don't even realize. You could have easily been on that freeway. You could have easily been in that vicinity for one reason or another. That tornado could have came to your neighborhood. There were some people who were the tornado hit in certain neighborhoods, and it got some houses, and it didn't get some houses. What is it? I'm just asking. What is it that made it get this particular set of houses and didn't get this? One particular guy I know, he said his old block was tore up, and then he got this house and just skipped over. Verse 3, and then I'm going to move to verse 3 to 9, the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. Everything you do is what I'm going to recompense. I'm going to share something with you that you may not know. Did you know the guy, the apartment that was destroyed, did you know that that guy who originally built those apartments did it on the scale? He messed a lot of people out of a lot of money. He built those apartments and then he left them half done. He got so many million. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
I forget the guy's name, but he come across like he had all that money.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was said and done, the guy didn't have nothing. He ended up getting all them big loans and stuff to build. All them apartments that you see on both sides, all over there, that guy was responsible for building those. And he went built up, I think ran off with a lot of the money and stuff like that. Now, I'm just using that. That came up in my spirit for a reason. And you look at that, you never know what happened. You never know what happened in that area for y'all to come back around and judge it. You never know what happened in order for y'all to come back through and deal with something. And I have to be bold and say, you never know what was happening in Gaul. You never know what was happening in Raleigh. To make y'all say, I got to deal with some things. You never know what's going on with minds of the people. But we look at things, and we look at the destruction, and we say, man, that's just terrible. You know, why would y'all let something happen like that? We have to understand that Yah is sovereign, and every time he allows some things to happen, he do it for a specific reason, and he's touching people's lives based upon the things that he do for some specific reason. For some specific reason. Verse 4 says, and mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. But I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah. Bunch of people praying now. I had my grandson's dad. He was like, it's funny how, you know, this is a terrible thing, but it's funny how people really don't start calling on y'all until these type of things happen. Y'all is getting our attention. One way or another. He's getting our attention one way or another. And I'll say this here, we'll go to Luke 22, and then I'm going to go ahead and close. Now, if anybody got anything they want to say in reference to that, you're welcome to do so. Don't let me stop it. Now, Luke 22, I don't know which verse I want to start at. Luke 22 verse 26 says, but ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth. Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. And so he's using this as an example of saying, okay, who is the greatest person, the one who, you know, come across as being important and he's being served, or the one who's doing the service. And he's saying, okay, here I am, here I am, really the greatest among you, but I'm serving you. Okay, what he's basically saying in a nutshell. Now, verse 28, he said, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. Verse 29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. That's when he's talking to the disciples. Then verse 31, he says, and Jehovah said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, or desire you, that he may sift you, that he may sift you as wheat. Okay? Now, I really don't want to stay on that either. But he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32 is really where I want to be. He says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Okay? Now notice there's a code. He said, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now I find it unique that he's saying to Peter, now, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Colon now. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. So I'm gonna say it like this. Those who allow God to deal with their mind, from, you remember when I talked about the Nuach, which means resting, and the Ruach, which means the spirit, in a nutshell, the spirit resting upon us. When you look at this passage here, it is giving us the understanding that faith don't fail for people who are converted. In other words, and I deal with the word converted so that you really see where I'm going here. Now, the word converted means, it's a lot of definitions that's associated with this. It means to revert, and I'm going to look at some other things just to kind of give you a clear understanding. Again, verse 32, he says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So people whose faith fail not, in a nutshell, people whose faith doesn't cease are people who have been converted. Now, this conversion here, especially when you look at all the things that was going on with Peter, this conversion here was a state of mind to the point to where it caused Peter to trust Yah and to comprehend some things as far as the kingdom is concerned, so that he can strengthen his brother. The reason why this mind is being drawn in the sand, the way Yah has had me to do it, is because it's bringing about a conversion on mankind, specifically the nation of Israel, that is going to, how can I put this, that's going to be like, unlike anything you've ever experienced before. To the point where I had a lady that texted me earlier, and she said, I had a dream that you extended your hand out, and you grabbed me by the hand, and you pulled me upward. That's the conversion. What Yah is doing with us as a ministry, and the things that he's having myself, as well as something you're going to start doing, you may be doing it on your job, you know, there may be some stuff going on as far as your job is concerned, and you're saying, okay, guys, I had different people that come to me and say, you know what, there's some things that's been going on at my job, and because certain people were doing me a certain way, Yah moved them out of the way. Y'all move them out of the way, or y'all allow some things to happen There are people that's around me that are getting demoted for whatever reason or another. They're getting moved to other locations, or they're losing their job. All these different things are happening around me for whatever reason or another. And it seemed like what Yah is doing with me is just continue to push me forward and deal with me deal with me in ways. It seemed like stuff is falling by the wayside around me, but I'm constantly going forward. Well, it's because of what you have in you. You've been converted. And because of that conversion, Yah is now strengthening you so that you can strengthen the brethren by them looking at your life, seeing the thing that's going on with you as far as your conversion is concerned. That's why he's having you to say certain things. That's why he's going to have you to do certain things more and more, because the line has got to be divided or drawn in the same. Now, here's what I mean. You're going to have to be bold enough, okay? You're going to have to be bold enough to speak those things to make it clear who belongs to Yah and who doesn't. Now, here's what I mean by that. Some of you may be having some issues as far as the job is concerned. And Yah is saying to each one of us, how long are you going to hop between two opinions? Lay it out there exactly how it's going to be. And when you lay it out there exactly how it's going to be, I'm going to do it exactly the way that you say that it's going to be done. And when it's done exactly the way that you say it's going to be done, then people are going to be converted, because they're going to see that there's something about you that is very different from them, and you're going to be able to strengthen your brother because you yourself have been converted. What makes you, because you hear the things that you hear, what makes you different than anybody else? There's going to have to be something that goes on with you that's going to make you decree and say things that's going to make somebody look at you and say, there's something different about this individual than it is about that individual. You're going to have to strengthen your brother. And the only way you're going to strengthen your brother is some things got to be happening with you. Some events has got to take place. And people got to know clearly that there's something different about this with you. Now, I'm still coming full circle. That's why I wrote the stuff about the hotel experience. Because now it's causing people to say, you know what, wait a minute. This boy was out here in this thing, and nothing even came near it. It's right up the street from it. Now, you take yourself and put yourself in those same positions. It may not be a tornado event, but it may be an event as far as your job is concerned. It is time for you to draw a line in the sand and make a clear separation. It's like what Elijah said. How long is it going to be a halt in between two opinions? See, the only way y'all going to show himself in the earth is he got to do it through his people. That do it through his people. And so in order for him to do it through you, there are certain times you're going to have certain things being done to you, and you're going to have to step out in the front and speak some things before they happen. See, we can all give our testimony after something happens. But I'm just saying that I have to use me for an example, okay? But these are things that I'm saying beforehand. That I'm saying, put me to the test. Because my mindset is kind of twisted like this. I like putting myself to the test, or I like saying stuff like put me to the test, because if it turns out not to be true, if I turn out to be false, then I ain't going to sit down somewhere. Because in reality, when it really comes down to it, if y'all ain't leave me, I'd rather be sit down somewhere. I'm a different kind of preacher. I don't want to be one of those kind of preachers that y'all is not going to bag what he's saying with me, and I just come across like I am anointed, but in reality I'm not. I want y'all to deal with me in circumstance that makes it crystal clear that there's something on me that's not on everybody. That's the drawing of the line in the sand that I'm talking about. When are you gonna go, I'm just using this example. When are you going to go on your job? When are you going to go be in a certain circumstance and make it known? I'm going to say it like the way he gave it to me. People should be afraid of you. People should be afraid of you. People should be afraid to mess with a child of God. There were times when Samuel, the prophet Samuel, would go to a city. I'm going to ask you a question and see if you guys remember the story. You may not remember this particular story that I'm saying. There were times when Samuel went to a city. You know the first thing they asked him when he would go to a city? Is all well? That's the first thing they would ask Samuel when he would go to visit the city. When Samuel would show up, fear would come on the people, and they would say, "Is everything okay? Is everything fine? Are you bringing the good word, or are you bringing the bad word?" Bad in reference to them, but you know, anytime y'all lead up to say it, it's a good word, whether it's bringing about destruction to somebody else, it's still a good word because it comes from y'all. But their mindset was, these prophets, these men of Yah were so in tune with Yah that whenever they showed up, people reverenced the presence to the point to where they were saying, "I can't just do that with any kind of way." I can't say just anything about that individual. You know, I've been run across some people that have told me, say, hey man, I be warning people. And I be warning people saying, don't try to come at that guy. Don't try to put that guy down or don't say specific things about that guy because there are consequences that's associated when you do. When you do come at them that way. It is time for each one of you to be able to strengthen your brethren because people see that there is something about you that puts you in a position where your faith is consistent, your faith hasn't failed to the point where people can look at you and say, "You know what? I need your hand to help me get up here." Alan had said to me when we was riding around trying to fix that water and stuff, and his brother-in-law was up there and we was trying to fix that. He had made a statement. He said, a lot of times, I have people who will tell me that, you know, after talking to me, they feel better or something like that. That's strengthening the brother. That's strengthening the brother. When you come around people, are they strengthened by you? Do people look to you for strength? Or are you a burden? When you come around and some people say, "Oh Lord, here he come, Lord, have mercy, here he come." Or when you come around, when people have issues going on, do they look for you or do they try to find, you know, do they look for you for strength when people come around for whatever reason or not? Because that's what needs to take place when we are converted. When we come into the knowledge or the understanding, since we have come into the knowledge and understanding that we should be strengthening brothers. We should be put in a position where we can deal with them and lay it out there and say, "Look here, this is what's going on as far as, for example, us in Israel. Like, this is what's going on with us as far as the nation is concerned. And if you don't want to believe me, then this is what's going to happen. So they are going to turn out and turn up such and such." I'm just using that as an example. Because that's exactly what our prophets did. They prophesied these things. When you look at Ezekiel chapter 7, the word came to Yah and Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all these prophets went to the nation of Israel and they were very specific. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. And this is what he's starting to lead me to do. To say to our nation specifically and then our other nations of people, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. And put me to the test if you think I'm playing. that's the kind of strengthening we need. That's the kind of strengthening the kingdom of Yah needs, to the point to where we're able to lay these things out and then watch them come to pass exactly like Yah gave us to lay it out. No thing happened from that level of almost that ministry, for lack of a better way to put it. When things start happening at that level of status in our lives personally, that's when we're going to start seeing some changes like never before. People will start to reverence what's going on with you. And when they start to reverence what's going on with you, that's when you will be able to strengthen them. As long as they can see you, as long as people are able to stay on the same level with you spiritually. When I'm talking about spiritually, I ain't talking about that stuff coming out of the thing. I'm talking as far as your mindset is concerned. As long as people can stay on the same level with you as far as your mind is concerned, you will not be able to strengthen them. But when you're converted enough to be able to deal with people and cause them to see that there's something going on with you that's not going on with everybody else, then you can strengthen them and you can bring about the change that's necessary so y'all can deal with all of us as far as our ways is concerned, and we can see some good results. So, I'm going to throw this one big thing at you and then I'm going to leave it alone. If you got something you want to say, that's fine. Everything that's going on with us right now, everything, each one of us examine our own personal lives right now. Everything that's going on with us right now is based upon our own ways. That's a hard pill to swallow. I'm admitting I don't like to feel myself. Everything that's going on is as a result of our ways. What is it that has the things going on in our life going on? It's according to our own ways, and we need to sit down and examine that and come to an understanding of that, strengthen ourselves so that we can strengthen somebody else. Deal with that. Understand that concept. I'm able to sit back and look at everything that goes. Okay, we was up in the building all day, pretty much all day, and we let the water get a little bit higher than what you know we had planned on doing, and that's all right. But what I realized, that's according to our way. Now I take full responsibility too, because I know there are certain things we could have done to keep it from getting to that standpoint, but it did. But I was up there, it was kind of funny to me today, because I'm sitting looking at them like, okay, y'all, I know this is my fault. This bar is at this level, at this point, because it's our fault. I take full responsibility. And that's why I didn't tell the guy. That's why I kept laughing at different times, because I was like, okay, we going through all this because of us. We don't blame it on the pump, the water pump, whatever. Water pump has some issues, but bottom line is our way. It's something that we could have done better or should have done better. You know, it was something that we neglected. It was all something associated with everything. Y'all was like, okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to let you out there. You're going to do all that work for nothing because I'm judging your according to y'all ways. I was like, okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah, we could have done something. It all get resolved. That's no big deal. It all get resolved. But I understand what was going on today. Yeah, I said I'm gonna use a water pump as a tool. A tool to strengthen my son because you know, it's a lesson learned. I guarantee you, we learned something today, and we ain't gonna let it happen again. You see what I'm saying? And so that takes being able to look in the mirror and to be able to see everything full from the full point of view, and I be saying, yeah, I see you. I messed up back there. I could have done that different. Okay, I could have done that different too. I could have done that different. So all this junk that I'm having to deal with today is because of something different I could have done 2 days ago. Something different I could have done last week or week before. And all. It was something different could have been done. And y'all was like, because of that, this is a tool. Now, I use that as an example. Now, you find a tool somewhere in your life and look at your ways and say, and be able to examine and say, this is why I went through that right there. What is going on with you to be able to sit down and take a look at it and say, yeah, I see, I understand why that's that way right there. Because that's how I do things. Remember what I said when I said earlier, I said when the gas blew up in my face and I was, you know, completely consumed in fire, the first thing I did is say, okay, y'all, what, give me an understanding of my ways. Why did this happen? There's a purpose for this and I want to find it. Well, it's the same thing today. All that we did today is purpose associated with that. And I'm able to sit back and analyze and say, okay, I see it and I understand the whole purpose behind the day. So it wasn't a waste of day because y'all dealt with us according to our own way. And I can accept that and grow from it. And so I'm saying that to the same perspective as far as each one of you are concerned, because that's the very way you got to be able to strengthen your brother. You got to be able to sit down and look at everything and say, yep, I found me right there. I found me in Ezekiel 7, verse 3. He's recompensing me according to my own way. Because you know how we are most of the time. We think everything is happening to us because people just want to pick on us. I'm the innocent one, and everybody else, you know, is just being mean. I'm the innocent. I haven't done anything wrong, and everybody else is just being mean to me. Well, at the same time, I'm able to look at y'all and find me somewhere. Now, you do have evil people that already always have things that, you know, you're going to find evil people. So you find yourself and be honest with you. I'm just throwing different things at you to analyze, but I don't want you to take a mindset and try to look at everything in your life as it must have been something I've done wrong. I'm just saying there's purpose associated with everything that's going on with us. Find it. And if you happen to find you as the culprit, accept it, acknowledge it, and deal with it. I found me as the culprit and accept it and acknowledging it, and dealing with it as far as the building is concerned or what. All I'm saying is whatever's going on with it, examine it, and if you don't find you, like I said, the first time I mentioned when the fire consumed me, first thing I did was start saying, okay, y'all, why? Show me, what did I do to get my beard here charcoal like this? And for me acknowledging it from that standpoint, first thing y'all said, no, it's not something that you done wrong, son. You remember when I said the other day that I was going to make you the answer? This is what this is about. This is about you being the answer. Well, when it comes down to today, I was like, okay, y'all, why is this happening? Why we waste all this time up here pulling this dog on water pump? And it seemed to be a good one. It just don't want to run for us today. Why is this? Y'all teach you a lesson because you sit here and let this water get in this point and you didn't have to do it. Well, that's okay. I understand that's on me. And that water there is a judgment according to my ways, our ways. That's what we're going to put. Everything's going to be fine. Okay? Now, when we get to that point that we can acknowledge that, now we're ready to strengthen the brother. You can't strengthen anybody if you think you always the victim. Now, you may be a victim. I have to balance that. You may be a victim, but you have to also look at it and say, yeah, that came to me because my way too poor. Yep, I know what I did. I may not tell you what I did, but I know what I did. Okay. And so, as I get ready to close, everything happens for a reason. Now, to balance that, when they asked our Savior, oh, sure, they was like, okay, when the child has an issue, they was like, who's sinning? Did his parents sin or did the child sin? Y'all was like, oh, sure, was like, no, nobody, just for the will of God to come to pass. Parents didn't sin. Child isn't sin. This is for my purpose. So that's why I say you balance that, because there are some things that you go through that God is just bringing purpose to pass. Like, for instance, this would be as far as the burning was concerned. That was to bring y'all's purpose to pass. It's not that I did anything bad, but that's y'all was like, I had to let you go through this because I'm bringing you through some purpose. There's something that I'm establishing with that experience. Well, on the other hand, he turns around and Dan's like, okay, I brought that to pass because you wait. I got angry at you guys. I got angry at you because there were things that you should have stayed on top of, but for one reason or another, you got slack, you didn't want to do it, you know, and I admit I didn't. I was like, you know, we were talking about doing some stuff last week. I was like, nah, let's wait another week. We'll be fine another week. Well, all these events happen, one thing another after another happened, and it got to this point. So I can look back on that and say, yeah, I see how that happened. Judging my way. Learn how to do that, and y'all will strengthen us in a way to where we will always be available to strengthen people. Strengthen people. Learn how to realize that some things are happening as a recompense. I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to just take and use that. To balance it, use it as far as the tornado is concerned, and say, well, everything happened to all those people because they were bad people. Well, somebody might have been bad, and somebody else might have been in the way to bring that purpose past in their life and also deal with the bad. Either way it goes, it was the purpose of Yah. The purpose of Yah was to deal with some things that was bad, and the purpose of Yah was to deal with some things just for his purpose. You know? There were some people who were in it, but they didn't lose anything. Or they lost very little. There were some who were in it that lost a lot. Either way it goes, it may have been purpose for whatever reason or another. Some person may have lost everything because of their way. Some person may have lost some things because that was just the purpose of God to deal with some other circumstance that needs to be dealt. They didn't do nothing wrong for it to happen to them. It just happened that way in order to bring his will to pass. You know, Deanna, one of the little girls that daycare died about a month ago now. She died about a month ago. There's no way you can put a thing on and say this baby had, you know, baby lost her life. You know, they couldn't find anything wrong with the baby or anything. You know, so it you can't explain why the child died. But at the same time, it's to bring about purpose. For whatever reason or another, I have to be neutral. It had to do with bringing about purpose, whether that was because nobody's way, or maybe somebody's way. I don't know, and it's not my responsibility to figure it out. And y'all say you know. And I'm going to leave it at that. In other words, when he said, you know, I can see what happened and why it happened, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just leave it neutral. And he said, that's fine. I'm going to just leave it neutral. But there is a purpose behind the reason why that happened to this child. And for me to stay neutral, it could be because of the way or because y'all said, someone just want to bring some purpose to pass because I want to reach somebody over here. Either way it goes, y'all allowed it to take place. And so you have to be able to look at that across the board. You have to be able to sit down and look at that, because God has called each one of you that's listening to me right now to be great strengtheners. But the only way you're going to be that is you have to sit down, look at the circumstance, and be able to say, yeah, I see my ways right there. And to be able to analyze and say, well, okay, y'all did this. I don't quite understand why he did it, but it's designed for his will whatsoever. I'm innocent in the matter, but y'all is doing something to bring some glory somewhere. But then at the same time, you know, let's examine it and sit down and look at it, because it's something that has to take place in order for us to be able to strengthen people. That's why Matthew 7 says, okay, before you can get the sin out of somebody's eye, then you need to be able to get the big beam out of your own eye. Deal with our ways before we can strengthen other people. And see, we're big on strengthening other people's issues, but we don't want to strengthen ourselves as far as our own issues are concerned. And the only way to do that is be able to sit down and examine things and come to the realization, like I just did. Okay, I understand why the water is where it is. I accept that y'all acknowledge it. I acknowledge the responsibility of it. And y'all bless us through that. Okay. And that's how we have to do things in order to be able to strengthen the brothers. Because there are some things that's happening. That's why I went to Ezekiel 7. There are things happening according to our ways. And the only way to strengthen the brother and brethren is to be able to sit down and acknowledge it. And I say this and I'm done. If we learn how to acknowledge things, they'll go away. That water's going to go away. Okay? But Yah is saying, and I'm just saying this the way, Yah is saying, okay, I will constantly fill that billion of water until you acknowledge what you just did. But because you acknowledge it, I'm going to work everything out and everything's going to be fine. No issues whatsoever. Y'all can get the water out. Everything's going to be fine. But if you had not acknowledged it and said, okay, no. We didn't do anything wrong. This is the only chance we had to do it and all these different things. Then y'all was saying, okay, they ain't learned nothing. Let me deal with them according to their ways.
You said acknowledge,
meaning
like bring it to my attention that, oh, I
should have
got it out.
Yeah, that's what I mean by acknowledge. That was a good question. When I acknowledge something, I'm admitting that my ways in the matter, okay, this is like this because of something I did. That's what I mean by acknowledge. And so from the acknowledgement, it can be twofold. You can acknowledge it. Remember how I did show the example as far as the fire consuming me? I acknowledged. I was like, okay, y'all, what is it? Show me what I'm searching for stuff. I'm searching my life. I don't see anything but show me something, because this happened for a reason. I want to understand why this happened. Because I said I was going to make you the answer. That's the reason. Okay, I'm fine now. I'm good now. It's not something that I need to change. It's something that he used as an event to bring about the strength. Because when I came back, now think about it. I'm glad that happened that way. I'm trying to solve this, but I got to make sure you get what I'm saying. Now, I'm asking you, how did it make you feel to know that I was consumed in fire and nothing happened to me? How did it make y'all feel? Yeah. I'm asking, how did it make you feel?
I mean, real bad, because that could have been prevented.
Okay, no, I'm not talking about from a perspective of, oh, it could have been prevented. How did it make you feel to know nothing happened?
It made me feel like I knew that I was with you.
Strengthen. That's what I wanted to get to. Yeah, said, I allowed that to happen to you. In other words, let me put it this way. Everybody could have been, everybody from the church could have been standing down now that day. Yeah, I said, I'm still going to let it happen because I need you to strengthen. That was my purpose. So to come full circle, he said, I didn't want nobody up there. The reason why I didn't want nobody up there is because I needed that to happen to you so that I could send you back to give the testimony of it so I can strengthen and can encourage everybody. People were looking at me. It was so funny. People were looking at me because they were like, there's no way you can be consumed in fire. And that did not be wrong with you. So some people wanted to see me just to be able to see it with their physical eyes and say, okay, nothing really happened to that nut. Nothing happened to him. That's stressing you. Now, from that event happened to me, that gave each one of you an encouragement as far as your faith is concerned. You know what? If y'all can do that for pastors, he can show up and take me in some areas too. That's right. That was an acknowledgement. Now, the way the Lana just said, she was like, okay, so you saying acknowledge it? You remember when I said some things concerning you? I'm telling you how to say, you know when you said you got a little sad with me and I felt my ass y'all to do something to you and you end up cutting your hand? That's the line in the sand that I'm talking about. Y'all said because he spoke it and he wanted me to deal with his daughter because he knows if he dealt with it, he's going to mess that up. I'm going to deal with her. And he dealt with her in a way to make her acknowledge, oh, she's very careful about what she's saying now. You know, she got a little meat in her, so, you know, she got that lion nature in her, too. So sometimes, you know, she'll kind of rile, and I'll be like, look, you know, you dealing with that, I'll be like, snatch all your hair off your head. So I'm like, okay, keep me from snatching all the hair off my head. Y'all, you deal with it. I'm going to ask y'all to do something to you. Now, she acknowledged. She was like, I know why this happened. Dad, I know why this happened. This happened to me, this is purpose. This happened to me because of something that I did completely. So every time she looks at that little star, it reminds her that you don't yell at your parents. Even when your dad annoying you. I was living with her that night. But she got a little bit too loud. I was like, hey, wait a minute, girl. Well, maybe turn loose this turn wheel. I will fight you while I'm driving down the road. And that's what I say, you know what, I'm asking y'all to do something. But I was messing with her a little bit. But at the same time, y'all was still like, but yeah, you don't get contrary like that with your parents. So it's vitally important for your kids to understand that in certain ways they can't talk to you. And you got to draw that line in the sand. They have to get to the point where they acknowledge that there's something going on with you that's different from what's going on with anybody else. So they have to know. Like the same way people know that they can't mess with me, it's gotta be people know that they can't mess with you. Man, I ain't been trying to cause that person to lose their job because man, and cause that person to lose their job, it may put my job in jeopardy. Because that's y'all's anointed right there. That's his child. I can't be messing with that individual. Now, you got to be wise, man. You can't start out saying, you know what, y'all going to kill all y'all on this job. Now you're being classified as a terrorist, so you got to be wise nowadays. But you got to be able to lay stuff out there in a way to make people understand, you can't touch this. I'm operating on a different scale here. So that's why you've been having to write these things the way that I have been doing, to show that there's a clear separation from the spirit that y'all has given me in comparison to the spirit that these other people, like what Adam was talking about earlier, they these anti-spirits or these anti-Christ spirits and all this, you know, anti-knowing and all these things that people are walking in. Y'all be ashamed of yourself walking on your job being afraid when you are y'all's anointed. They should be afraid of you. All right? Any questions coming? I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I've been talking too long. Anything? Y'all understanding where I'm going with this? what I'm saying is, be able to judge it. Be able to examine yourself. Admit your shortcomings. Admit where you are, because that's how Yah strengthens you. What did he say to Peter? Peter, I say he said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter was like, yeah, I love you as a friend. But I say was saying to me, do you love me unconditional to the point to where you're willing to even give your life for me? Peter was like, no, I don't love you like that. I love you as a friend. I will get up and run when they about to kill you again. Just add everybody to it. Peter was acknowledging where he was, and because Peter did, then they got to the point where Peter was willing to give his life up for the kingdom. He was strengthened. He was converted to the point where he strengthened his brother. But when he walked around in denial, oh, I'm okay. I just love the Lord. I do anything y'all say. And when things come down to it, then we, you know, are you really converted? Because that's the only way we're going to strengthen the brother. That's the only way we're going to strengthen people. We got to be converted. Okay. All right, I'm through for real this time.
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
This is an interesting lesson for me, because before the class started, I was writing a letter to my ex-landlord. At one point in time, we attended the same church. And so it's not like it's somebody I didn't know. So when I rented the house from him, I thought, okay, everything's going to be good. But, you know, that saying, you walk a mile in somebody's moccasins, and then you really know who they are. Mm-hmm. So anyway, when I moved out, he refused to give me my deposit. So I took him to court, and I did some research before I took him to court and found out that I could ask for triple my deposit plus $100 extra if he hadn't shown good faith. And so I did all of that. I represented myself in court, and the judge awarded me all that I asked for plus court costs. So $200 turned into $811.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was livid, of course, and he told the judge he was going to appeal. And the judge said, okay, that's fine. So what you have to do is pay $1,400 filing fees before you do that. Which would have been cheaper for him to go ahead and pay me. Well, I haven't received a penny from him. I haven't heard a word from him, and this was back in July. So every time I drive down the road and I pass by the road to go to his house, I'm just minding my own business, and it just pop up in my mind, you know, you need to write a letter to him and, you know, and see what's going on. And I'm serious, just about every time I go down the road, come back, when I get to that point, and I said, I need to do this and get this off of me. So I was sitting here writing that letter to him, and basically I was stating to him, this is what happened, and, you know, I paid the deposit, and I left more than $5,000 improvement in your property, and, you know, right is just right. So, you know, you've defied the law, and you haven't complied with what the law said, so this is judgment. You know, people, you reap what you sow. So when things start not going right, just recognize what you put out there is what comes back to you. And I said, when I do this letter, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, all the things you were saying, and then I was in the process of doing just that, because, you know, I was just through with it, but it just kept coming up in my mind. It's like, I need to do this, and I'm pretty sure once I do, when I go down the road, it won't even come back up again. So if he never does anything, whatever happens, that's God's choice.
And see from you doing what the Spirit is leading you to do. In other words, your mind is being dealt with to do that. Once you do that, that is his judgment. He's gonna be fine until you write that letter. When you write that letter, it has drawn a line in the sand, and that's what I'm saying. A lot of things are not happening because we as the children of Yah are not, y'all help me with a word.
So I can say with.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. We're trying to close, y'all, but we got to deal with this here, because I want you to understand it fully before I let you off here.
So I just wanted to make a comment. So I had this conversation with my dad. I said a lot of things are not balanced in the church today. I said, when you look at it from this perspective, everybody tell you, you know, like Jesus said, turn the other cheek. But I said, it's twofold. You got to know when to do that. Because if the same Jesus sat down and made a cat of nine tails, a whip, to whip them up out of the temple, right? So it's like, you got to know when to do what. He wasn't turning the other cheek when it came time for that. And I said, you got everybody, regardless of what the circumstance, that's turning over the cheek. Well, it ain't time for that all the time.
Right.
You gotta be sensitive enough to the spirit to know when I need to make this whip or
right.
when I need to turn over the cheek.
Right. And you'll see that perspective a lot in our lives when we look over things. There are things that we have gone through that was unnecessary because we refused to draw the line in the sand. It could be a whole lot easier. All it has taken is writing a letter. I'm using Mama Coates for example. He would have already been dealt with one way or another. See, writing, and I'm going to say it this way twofold. Writing a letter may be the very thing that will cause him to give her the funds, or will cause him to wish he had gave the one or two things gonna happen when she deliver that letter. If the line has been drawn to the sand, like y'all is like, okay, now it's come up before me because she done her part, she put it in my hand, and now I can deal with it. So I'm gonna use her as an example before I give it to her. Nothing has happened to this guy because of Mama Cole's way. Her way is writing the letter. And because she hasn't sit down, because it's talent, it has come from her own admitted, you know, she's admitted her way, that every time I've gone down that road, it has come up in my spirit. So that's y'all saying, well, I'm recompensing you according to your way. Nothing has happened because you haven't done anything. But once you sit down and now draw the line in the sand, either he going to write you a check, or I'm going to turn him a new rear end like he ain't never experienced in his lifetime. You never know, you may end up losing every property you own. You just never know.
And in this letter, I'm giving him the option to make this right. And
yeah.
I said, but if you choose not to do that, and you insist on not following the law, just know that God's judgment will rest upon you.
Right.
And that's the last thing I said. Respectfully submit it. I'm out.
Exactly. And trust me, every time he gets slapped across his head, he's going to think about the very word, God's judgment is upon me. But it has to be released by an Israelite. It has to be released by someone who's been converted. Other than that, if she has been converted, it's just been just saying stuff. A lot of people walk around here just saying stuff. But now nobody messed me up. All right, God won't get you for messing with me. Well, that only applies to somebody who's been converted. When you've been converted, You can throw stuff out there, or you can lay stuff out there. Rest assured, it's gonna come to pass, and it ain't gonna take a long time for it to happen. Speak it and watch it, and when people start to see signs following you as the person who's been converted, watch they start treating you different. Watch them start treating you differently, and these things are not gonna be happening to you on your job or wherever. Well, I'm gonna just say this just as bold as I can, but at the same time, I'm saying it from a point of humility. I just have this tenacity, and I'm gonna say what's in my heart to say. People are afraid to mess with me. people should be afraid to mess with you. Okay? That's where it has to get to the point to where it is. And that's why people have been bagging off away from us, from giving us issues as far as the building is concerned, because they have become afraid of us. They are afraid of us. That's why they don't come down that street now messing up. They are literally afraid of us. Instead of that same reputation. It's not an arrogance. It's you walking in your way. Your way of righteousness, walk in it. Walk in righteousness and watch people get off of trying to bring you down and deal with you and different things like that. Quit coming across like you this timid individual. Come across with some authority and some wisdom of Yah. Come across and speak the words that's necessary, and you draw the line in the sand. Draw the line in the sand. You got a whole lot more power and authority than you think. Walk in that power and authority. I haven't ever been intimidated on nobody's job, no circumstance, no nothing. But when I was on a certain job, they were saying, "We'll fire you. Well, you're going to lose the best employee you ever had." And remember, I was looking when I found this one here. Y'all's my source. You're not my source. You are not my source. So go ahead and do what you do. And I go ahead, I take the next step. I need a vacation. Fire me. I'm going to get out of Florida. Do what you do. I'm just saying how my mind works, okay? Just remember these things, okay? You don't have to be afraid on your job. You set the standard because you have been converted. You are the child of Yah on your job. Don't be walking around now timid and afraid that somebody gonna, you know. You are the child of Yah on this job. You're converted. You're not being converted. You're doing the converted. Speak in the authority and draw the line in the sand. Use Yah's wisdom, though. Not no foolish stuff. I'm going there saying, all y'all crazy and all y'all won't get fired because I want you to do that kind of stuff. But lay it out in a way of wisdom, and I guarantee you people going to, y'all back up every word you say. And people going to recognize, I need to leave that one alone.
So let me get a clarification. I mean, I know, but I just want you to clarify.
Okay.
When you say, draw the line in the sand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's drawing a line in the sand. And I use example as far as what I say concerning certain people. I said, okay, your heart is between two opinions. You think that marching, protesting, all this here is what's going to resolve our issues. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm saying the only thing that's going to help us is following Yah. Changes, following the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah. And the line that I'm drawing in the sand is, if you know, you're going to die a famine, you're going to die a pestilence, and you're going to die a weapon. You're going to continue to die. That's the line drawn in the sand. In other words, this is what's going to happen if we change. This is what's going to happen if we don't change. There's the line. Which side are you going to be on? In other words, when you draw a line in the sand, you are laying it out in a way like what Mama Cole did. She, from her writing the letter, she landed out in the sand. If you pay me, everything's going to be fine and dandy. If you don't, you're going to get your butt holes. I mean, you're going to get some rings. I forgot my face is going to fall. If you don't, that's drawing a line in the sand. That's the ultimatum. There's only two sides to this line. You're going to get on the Lord's side, or you're going to be on judgment side. I'm drawing it in the sand, and that's what he's forcing me to do when they come down and dealing with all these things. Draw the line in the sand. Make it clear. Make it clear that you belong to me. Don't sit there and say, like the other bootleg preachers do, oh, somebody in here, I feel you got a headache. He said, draw the line in the sand. Tell the one who got the headache. Time out for plan.
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
And when you do that, you can walk away and forget about it.
Exactly. Because the line in the sand that you drawn is not your line. You laid it out there. Now Yah is the one who's going to do the rest. Once I laid it out there, I didn't know he was going to use the tornado as a weapon. That ain't my concern.
I just had a comment. So when that happens, it's like that is what's going to make the distinction between what's his and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's his, he's going to back it up.
Exactly.
If it ain't his, it's going to follow the space.
Exactly. That's what I love about a test. When y'all tell me, when y'all tell me to say it, I say it. And I'm content either way. Remember I said that earlier? I said, if you don't do it, I know I can go sit down somewhere because I ain't the real deal. Oh, but if I'm the real deal, and every time he's led me to draw the line, he proved that I was the real deal.
You know what? This just makes me think, in the situation from past to present, and when Yah had stopped me in my management office, and, you know, because I was ready to go to war, and I was crying because it was like, you know, I'm like, okay, this is what you want, and I was like, this is what you're going to get, and I was going to walk out the office, and Yah stopped me. He said, tell management, from this day forward, this call center will be judged. From the time that those words were spoken, that's what's been happening. And I'm glad about this lesson today because when I was called in the office today, management always tell me, you know what, we believe what you say when you say it because we have seen it come to pass. And even with the situation that's starting now, and when you have, you know, I know the supervisors don't like me, but I don't care. I don't let it bother me. At one point, it did because, you know, I'm friendly, you know, trying to get along. But now I got a clear understanding. It's like the line has been drawn, and it's like whenever God allows me, and this is what I tell my management, I said, I tell y'all, If you order me to step this way, that's what I'm going to do. I don't move unless he has told, you know, I don't just like that say, I don't just say, oh, the whole this and this going to happen or whatever, unless Yah is saying, you know what, you speak this and I'm going to back it because you got to be, you know, not just, I don't know how to say, you know, power tripping or whatever. It's like you gotta know what who you are in order to speak things that are gonna come to pass. Because y'all are giving me that authority. And this one supervisor came in the first day attacking me when I tried to do things decent and in order. After that first day, I told management, I said, she just messed up because I came to her in a way that wasn't, I already knew what she was about, but it's like judgment started when she tried to attack me and attack my character, then going around lying, trying to get people against me, and they coming back running and telling me, Tanya, I know you didn't say that, and I just throw a laugh, and I'm like, well, she's doing what she thinks she's supposed to do, but little does she know. She's touching the wrong person. So I'm not worried about that because she's going to be judged because I know who I am and I know who I am.
Mm.
And so things have already started to mess up. Manson told me today, coming, the head boss, he came down and said, you know what? I trust her. I trust what she say because even though she's union, I saw her for right.
Okay. Let me say this. I'm finna show y'all how serious I am about drawing the line in the sand. Now, I'm gonna say this again. I'm gonna say it this way. All of you are hearing it. I'm going to say this because y'all told me to say it, and he told me that if I say it, he going to do it. There will come a day soon. You know what I'm saying? Write it down. Put me to the test. Because when you're converted, you're able to strengthen your brethren by speaking these things. By speaking it, and when you speak it, y'all will bag up every word. Now, he told me to say it. I'm going to say exactly how he told me to say it and watch it come to pass. There's going to come a day when you're going to look at the moon. And when you look at the moon, there's going to be a black dot on the moon that nobody going to be able to explain. Put me to the test. Gonna come a day when you're gonna look at the moon. When you look at the moon, there's gonna be a black dot on the moon where y'all can see it. And then nobody's gonna be able to explain what it is. Now, if I'm y'all's converted, it'll come to pass. If I'm not, it won't come to pass. Now, put it to the test and watch what I'm saying. And he's gonna use that as an example to strengthen y'all to know that when you decree a thing, just because you decree it, there ain't no reason why no black spots be on the moon. I just gave it a reason. Just to strengthen you. They ain't going to be able to explain. Now watch it come to pass. If I'm who I say I am, you're going to see a black dot on the moon. And they're not going to know what it is. If I'm not, it ain't going to happen. Now, let's put it to the test. Watch and see. That's how serious y'all about. That's how serious y'all is about us drawing the line in the sand. People going to fear you because they know y'all will back up what you say. Watch that dot be on their mind. All right? I'm finished. Any other questions coming? All right. Father, y'all, we come to you now, and we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for who you are. We just thank you for giving us this lesson, and we're able to examine our ways to understand why things happen the way that they are. You even encouraging us to strengthen one another by drawing the lines in the sand that's necessary to encourage us so that we can strengthen the brethren. We give you glory for it. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.